All right, you may be seated tonight. Have your Bibles. If you need an outline, need a prayer sheet, raise your hand. We'll get them around to you. Need a prayer sheet or an outline? Okay, I got some guys. Where are my ushers in the back? See if you can find them. I know that Brother Richard Dean was out there. If you could get them in, and we try to find if you need to hold your hand up, we'll get them around to you. That's great. We got a host of people. Keep them up. We'll get them around to you. We got the Exodus 20. We're going to look at three verses tonight. But I want to ask you a quick question. As they're passing these out, give me your attention up this way once I get them all out. Thank you very, very much. I think we've about got them. We got some more to go. That's wonderful. All righty. Everybody got your... Now, let me ask you this question. Does anybody want to be under conviction and move closer to the front? And we got this whole section here empty, if you would like. I think the rapture is going to start from this section. I just want you to know, in case you want to. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Very grateful. Take just a minute tonight. And I got tables here, so I can't come down. I can't move much. So, Ryan, thank you very much. I appreciate it. That's great. Okay, if you have your Bible now, let me take just a minute tonight. Can somebody tell me this? What is Exodus chapter 20? It is the chapter where something is in it that everybody knows. Can somebody tell me what is in chapter 20 of the book of Exodus? Can anybody tell me what's in that chapter? Somebody tell me. Back over here, Miss Christina, Bible scholar, you know what is in it? The Ten Commandments, exactly right. That's what's in that chapter 20. Now, the first four commands, and let's take just a minute. There are Ten Commandments that we know of. They've been labeled the Ten Commandments. If you'll notice Exodus chapter 20, who gave the Ten Commandments? Somebody tell me, who gave the Ten Commandments? God himself did. Notice, if you would, chapter 20, verse number 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord. So the Lord himself gives these Ten Commandments. Now, I want you to take just a minute tonight. The first four directly related to someone. Who was it? Ryan? God himself. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. You'll notice as he goes down the list here, he says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. You'll honor the Sabbath. That's my day. Rest, that's my time. So tonight, we're going to start now with chapter 20. Notice if you would, chapter 20, verse 12, it changes. Chapter 20, 1 through 11 was about God himself and our relationship to him. Now, I want to go back to chapter 20, verse 1, or chapter 20, verse 2, rather, where he says, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, that should have caused them to realize, oh, this is the great God. This is the God that did those 10 miracles. That part of the Red Sea. I remember that. This is the God that can do anything. And he had a request. Notice, if you would, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know what he's asking? His desire has never changed, Old Testament or New Testament. Can anybody tell me the greatest command of Scripture in the New Testament? What is it? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, mind, body, and soul. He's to be first. It's never changed. He wants to be first in the Garden of Eden. He wants to be first today. He wanted to be first in Egypt. He wanted to be first when we're in Mount Sinai now. He wants to be your God, my God, and he wants our heart to let him have no competition. That's his desire. Now, I want you to think about this. He made you and I for a purpose. The number one purpose was to worship, honor, and love him. Now, I want you to get this. He's got angels. Jesus said I could call 12 legions of angels, 84,612, I think it is, that I could call to set me free. And that is not but a pittance of the angels in heaven. But not one of those angels got to choose God. You and I, if we're saved, we had to choose him. That changes everything. The reason God had to put that one tree in the garden was that so we had a choice. And he wanted us to love him so much that we would say no to the tree. We didn't. So from then on, all generations, our blood was corrupted. We couldn't pay for our own sin. That's why Jesus, who was virgin born, Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. His blood was perfect. That's why he could die and shed his blood for us and pay our debt of sin. Now, you and I look back on it and say, okay, now let's go back and look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Thou shalt nor the gods before me. He doesn't want competition, just like no married wife wants competition. No married husband wants competition. We want to be first. We want to be loved more than anything else, and that is God's desire too. So the first four commands all deal with your respect and love for the Lord. Now notice number five. In your outline, the last six commandments address man's dealings with others. The first four dealt with man's dealing with God. Now they start to deal with man's dealings with other men, other mankind. Okay, so notice if you would, Roman numeral 2 in the outline, because we used Roman numeral 1 last week. God wants us to obey him and deal right with him as well as with others. God wants, the number one word God wants us to do is obedience. Matter of fact, he says, he defines love in 1 John chapter 5 as obedience without grief. Obedience with joy. That's what causes love to be real. When you do things you're not all that thrilled with, but you'll do them with joy. Hey, kids, come in and help wash the dishes. And they say, well, that's not my favorite thing. Or help me vacuum the house. How many of you don't like to vacuum the house? Let me see your hand. Oh, raise it up. Good night. Okay. How many of you don't like to mop the floors? Let me see your hand. How many of you don't like to clean the toilets? Let me see your hand. Okay. Now, that one got a lot of hands there. Okay. Now, let's say, for instance, somebody said, okay, we're going to come visit your house. And you said to your children, hey, I want you to go get the toilets and clean them up. And they would say, Mom. What if they said, sure, Mom, I'd be glad to. As you passed out and landed on the floor, you would look at it and say, wow, that's unusual. Do you understand? That's what God says love is to me. It is obedience and it's not grievous. You don't allow it to be grievous. You, in your own heart, say, I want to do this, even though I don't want to, with joy because I love him. Now, take your Bibles and notice if you would. Verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, I think it's really important that you and I realize the first people that God addresses past himself are parents. That tells you that moms and dads are important to God and how they're treated. And so he says, honor. That is when you and I raise them up, not for what they deserve, but who they are. How many of you as parents, I'm going to get rid of this table, but how many of you as parents are great parents and you don't have any flaws? All of us could say, you know, I've made some not so good decisions and, you know, I wished I was a little bit better parent. But do you know what God says? It doesn't matter who they are. Honor your parents. It's the first commandment with promise. God says, I want you to respect them for who they are. When my father, I was a teenage boy, got in the Cadillac and drove off, and that was the last time I saw him at home. honor thy father. And I watched my mom cry, honor thy father. And I saw us move to government housing because we had no money. Honor thy father. That verse does not change because they're good or not good to you. So understand tonight, notice if you would, A in the outline, the final six commands of the Ten Commandments directly relate to family and others. Number one, the fifth command clearly tells all mankind to honor our parents. A, the scribes changed this command and actually reversed it. Now, I want you to listen to this. We do this many times without thinking about it, without considering it. The scribes, over a period of a few thousand years, took the command, honor thy father and mother, which is the first command with promise, and changed it. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew 15, if you would. Matthew 15, I want you to see this verse. I want you to see what happens if you and I are not very careful to take God's word as law and as God's word as what he wants, and we just obey it. We don't try to figure it out. We just say, Lord, I'll do it. Well, notice if you would, 15 verse 3. And notice this, verse 2 he says, this is the Lord Jesus speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. Verse 2, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Now, this is the Pharisees. For they washed off their hands when they eat bread. Your disciples, they don't wash your hands before they eat bread. That's a requirement. Now, they must have been from COVID. That's all I can think of. They just went through some form of COVID, and so they said, you got to wash your hands, you know, 13 times. They had rules like that. Well, notice the next verse, verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? What is tradition? It's something somebody said a long time ago that sort of became the rule of thumb for a family or for people. And you say, why do you do that? I don't know. In our house, how many of you like green bean casserole? Let me see your hands. Okay. In our house, tradition was my wife liked to cook green bean casserole. And on top of green bean casserole, we put two things. Now, somebody tell me, anybody in this room, you make green bean casserole. Name for me some things that you put on your green bean casserole. Somebody tell me right here. What's that?
Fried onions.
Fried onions. Okay. Next. Somebody else. Okay. Fried onions. Something else. Right here.
Breadcrumbs.
Okay. Right here. Cornflakes. There's the only righteous guy in this building, okay? My wife would put cornflakes and cheese on top of the green bean casserole. And when I eat green bean casserole, it's not green bean casserole unless it's got cheese and cornflakes. Now, that's our tradition. That doesn't mean it's right. It's just something we got used to. And so if I were to eat carries with onion straws or whatever they are on it, I don't know what it was, I might struggle. Not because there's something wrong with it, but it's tradition. How many of you came to church and you sit in general at the same place? Raise your hand. Okay, let me say this. If the downs are not in that third seat, something's wrong. I don't know what it is. The church doesn't seem to be balanced, I guess. Okay, now Daniel Wooten over there, that's their pew. That's where they sit every time. Is that right? Okay, do you have your name on it? No, it's just, that's him. Now, Brother Turner over there, he sits on that side, and if I go down that row, I always know there's a big guy sitting right there, and I can just tap him and say, hey, Brother Turner, I just hope nobody else takes his place, or I'm going to call him the wrong name. It's tradition. It's something that just sort of you get used to. Well, notice this. Look what he says. In verse 3, you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition. You don't look at Scripture. You look at what some man said and you got used to it, and now it's the law. Notice what he says in verse 4. For God commanded. Folks, tradition and God's commands are two different things most of the time. And we can never take tradition over the command of God. That's the way we get in this position. Look here what he says. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. The exact same thing of Exodus chapter 20, 4,000 years earlier. Well, notice what he says now. In verse number 4, he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. If a child cursed his dad, they took him out and stoned him. You can't do that to your father. Now, we don't do that now. But my point to you is that's how important it was to honor thy father and mother. Now, notice this, if you would. How many of you think that probably some parents took advantage of that? Sure, they're human. I guarantee you some of them did. But it doesn't change the rule. It doesn't change the command of God. Now, our goal as parents is to never take advantage of honor thy father and mother. It's to always earn it, earn their respect, because you love the Lord. But children have no other choice. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And he mentioned it in Colossians and mentioned it in Ephesians. And honor thy father and mother 4,000 years earlier. Now watch this. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. But ye say, now understand there's a difference between God commanded and ye say. That's tradition. Watch. Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. Hey, if you benefit from me being your son, count yourself lucky. That's what that's saying. What an attitude. That's what happens when we begin to follow tradition. These were scribes and Pharisees, preachers of the day. How could they change things from honor your father and mother to, hey, if you get any benefit from me being your son, you're lucky. It's a gift if you benefit from me being your son. Where is our reasoning from Scripture? How could God ever be pleased with us doing that? Well, notice if you would, in verse number 6, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Hey, if you don't honor your parents, you're good to go. You're free in life. You're free from your parents' rule if you don't honor them. That's the direct opposite of the command of God. How do we get there? Oh, somebody said such and such, and somebody else. Look, if your parents don't treat you right, you don't have to honor them. That's baloney. I can tell you this. I love my father, and my father said he loved me. He asked me to preach his funeral. But it came to two ball games that I ever played in, however many years, 6, 8, 10 years. My mother was every one of them. But I still respected my father and honored him. He never one time came here in 34 years. But he said he loved me. I'm going to honor him. So when he asked me to preach his funeral, I said, sure, Dad. And I didn't get up and say one negative thing. I got up and praised him as a man that wanted to be good to his family. I said that with very choice words. He wanted to be good, but he was not. He just couldn't help himself. All I'm trying to say to you is, I love my dad. My dad's in heaven. I have not a doubt in this world. I too have got failures, but it didn't change the fact that I was to honor my father. And it doesn't change the fact that my son's to honor me. I may not deserve it. If you have your Bible, and I want you to see this, turn, if you would, to 1 Peter. Turn to 1 Peter. Notice with me, if you would, chapter 2. You might want to write this in. Notice the scribes changed this command and actually reversed it That's A. B, if we do honor our parents, God promises a long life. Now, I'm going to give you an example of somebody that's supposed to honor and what happens if they don't deserve it. Notice this in verse number 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. How many kings were that were bad? Most of them. 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Employees, be subservient to your supervisors with all respect. Not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward, to the absolute wicked. It doesn't mean we honor them for what they do. We honor them for the position that they hold. That is the command of God. Now, there are some things that are pretty easy to do as a Christian, and there are some things that are an absolute challenge, and this is one of them. But right doesn't change in the economy of God. Notice the next phrase, verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God. I respected my father because I have a conscience and I want my heavenly father to be pleased with me. For conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Verse 20. For what glory is it if when you're buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Do you understand that when you and I do what's right and it's difficult and it hurts and we suffer, God looks at it and said, I'm pleased. Because my children don't always get everything that they want, but I'm going to be good to them, and I promise. And tonight, all of us in this room, husbands, love your wives. That's not an option, but it is in our society. Wives, love your husbands. That's not an option, but it is in our society. All I'm trying to say to you is that if we just took what God said and said, Lord, you bless me as I do what's right, then the Lord can step in and be good to you. Long life is the promise for those that honor their parents. Now, I want you to notice, if you have your outline, let's go back over to Exodus chapter 20. I want you to see a couple more things here. Notice number two, the sixth command deals with us valuing the life of others. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time here, but I just want you to see this real quickly. Two says, it says, thou shalt not kill is the command. It is very simple. We're not to kill. Now, I want you to notice what it does not include, but I'll give you an example of things that God takes it a little bit further than you don't kill. Notice what he says, A in the outline. If an owner of a vicious animal didn't keep his animal locked up and it killed someone, the owner was liable. If you read verses 29 and 31, I'll tell you what happened. If that owner knew his dog was vicious or knew his, they used the word ox, was used to push. In other words, he would horn people very quickly. If you've ever seen the animals in a bullfight, those animals are bred to attack. And so if there were some owner says, yeah, I got some animals and boy, they're tough. You get in that my fence and they'll get you. And he says, if you know that and somebody's warned you about it, says you're liable if the young man is playing outside the fence and he throws his ball over the fence and he goes and gets it and your oxen gores him and he dies. Your life goes for it unless the parents, unless the authorities name a price and you pay it for your life. So understand this. They were trying, the Lord's trying to get people to understand that You and I have to value the lives of others, whether they deserve it or not. God values every life. Now, if he chooses to take one, that's his business. But he didn't give you and I permission to do that. Unless we're a police officer or unless somewhere in charge, that God gives them the authority. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13 very clearly, the leaders of our society don't bear the sword in vain. So God has a system for it to work, and we have to honor it. Now notice with me, if you would, in the outline, B, in the New Testament, if we get angry with someone in our hearts and want to kill them, we have killed them in God's sight. It's spoken in that way of Matthew 5:20, verse 30. So when you and I get so angry, I could just kill that guy. Be careful. The Lord looks at it. You see, in Christianity, the Lord raises the level of things not that we do, but that we want to do as sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, James chapter 2, to him it is sin. The Lord is trying to get you and I to do what's right from here, not just abide by the law. Notice, if you would, very quickly, and notice in number D, to kill does not, excuse me, let's go back to C. The command would apply to our thoughts in God's sight. You get so angry you want somebody to die. That, the Lord says, is murder. Now, we don't pay for that in the same way, but we disappoint God and he holds us accountable for it. So your thoughts are important to God. That's the reason in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, he says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Great Christians are so much of a cut above the average human race, human and human race, that they rise close to the Lord. They're completely different. Oh, I don't mean that they walk around with their nose in there. I just mean their heart is so pure in the eyes of God that God looks up and says, I am proud of them. And he blesses those. Look at a Moses. Look at a Peter. Doesn't mean we don't suffer and hurt. It just means that God stands with us. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want. It's the Lord to stand with me. I want him right beside me. I want to be right beside him every day of my life. I don't want to do one thing. So if somebody does something to me, and in my heart, I get the feeling I'd like to murder that guy, and I really meant it, I know that the Lord says, we can't be close today. You got to get that right. And I have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. That's the reason none of us can hold bitterness in our heart. It separates us from God. And he loves you. But you and I want to be close to him. And the way we do that is, Lord, is this thought okay with you? If that were the case, there'd never be a divorce. There'd never be a theft. Because when you turn your thoughts over to the Lord, you say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry I thought that concept. Forgive me. Then that Christian is holy. Because he allows the Lord to control his thoughts. Now, we all struggle in that area. But that's why he said, notice if you would, C, the command would apply to our thoughts in God's sight. God wants us to think right as well as do right. What you think is what you are. You start thinking about something and dwelling on something, and pretty soon you'll pull away toward that. Don't think the wrong thoughts. Don't allow your thoughts to go there. Take your thoughts and bring them into the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, is this okay? When we do that, our lives become different. There's a purity and a holiness in our heart that is heavenly. Notice, if you would, D, to kill does not include accidents, self-defense, or war. That's not what God is saying. He's saying when you know something that could kill somebody and you don't take care of it, and it does, that's not an accident. You knew it and didn't correct it. That would be second-degree murder, not first. But God then would allow a price that you could pay. But if it's first degree murder, there's no running from it. They had six cities. In many times, they had to call cities of refuge. If somebody was using an axe and his axe handle came off, the head came off and hit somebody and killed them, then the family would get someone that would go after that person, and that man would run to the nearest city of refuge and tell his story to the authorities, and this person would come that was accusing them, tell the story, and they would say, "I'm sorry, it was an accident. We agree with it being an accident." And he stayed in that city until the high priest died and he was safe. If he went outside the city, it was on his own accord. So God had all kinds of guidelines to protect people, but it was not considered murder, even though somebody died. So he says, "Thou shalt not kill." Now notice the last one, we'll stop tonight, but I want you to see this. Number three, the seventh command is for no one to commit adultery. Now, this is immorality, A, between married people. That's what adultery is. Fornication is immorality between unmarried people. And the Lord says, now notice if you would, in verse 14, it's really difficult to hear it, to understand it. Look how simple the command is. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Notice verse number 13, thou shalt not kill. Look at verse number 15, thou shalt not steal. So all of these relate to other people. Now again, think about this with adultery. Notice if you would, A in the outline, this is immorality between married people. B, we must keep our eyes on our own mate when there's lust in our hearts. I want you to take your Bible and turn me, if you would, to Matthew 5:28. I want you to see this, and you can see the high standard that God has for all of us. Notice Matthew 5:28. If you have your Bible, turn there. Matthew 5:28. Notice, if you would, verse 27. Jesus brings it up, this verse in Exodus 20, verse 14, verse 27. "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after hath committed adultery already with her in his heart." You know what he said? As a Christian, as my child, when your debt's paid, he says, "I want you to live above the law. I don't want you to say, I've never committed adultery. I want you to take it to the next level and give me your eyes." You know what? Does anybody know the next phrase? Don't look in Matthew 5. He says, if you look consistently at something else in immorality, take your finger and pluck out your eye. It's better than the result. Tonight, the Lord Jesus knows us. He made us. He wants us to be holy. He wants to be able to use us and to bless us. He wants us to be a testimony for Him. And the Ten Commandments haven't changed. They have just elevated to now the sight and the thought. And so tonight, you and I look at it, and I would just ask you this. How much do you love the Lord Jesus? Take your Bible and notice with me, if you would, 1 John chapter 5. And I want to read this verse to you. But before I do, I want to read B in the outline. I want to read C and B in the outline. C, a little c, God even calls looking on another married person when you're married as sin. And he says, it's better for you to pluck your eye out. Now, notice with me, if you would, I want you to read this verse with me. 1 John chapter 5, look, if you would, in verse number 2. "For this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." We know we love the children of God, other Christians. But look at verse 3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." They don't cause consternation in our heart. We don't grind in our heart to do it. It becomes a joy to us. Now, Watch this. I'm sitting here and my parents tell me to do something. I don't want to do it. And I get up, kind of grumble in my heart. Nobody knows it, but just the Lord and I. The Lord's not pleased with me. And so he says, if you love me, it won't be grievous to you. You'll work in your heart to say, I ought to do this. It's the right thing. I do love my parents. I'm going to do it right. There's a difference between that and doing it with joy. The levels of Christianity are, number one, I don't obey a disobedient child. I obey with grief a disappointing child. I do it and it doesn't cause me grief. That's a blessed child. But I do it because I love him and I'm going to enjoy it. That is a joyful son. And tonight, you and I have the choice of all those four levels. But the Christian, including the pastors, this is sermon number 4,221. There are times whenever I'm working on a thousand things and I get my sermon done and I'm ready to come in here and I have to pause right here. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. This is one of the greatest privileges of life, to share with someone the bread of life. Forgive me for being too busy with other things. Lord, help me to share your heart in these words. You know how hard that is to do 4,000 times out of 4,000 times? I'm human. But I never want to accept it. I always want to fight with joy to preach God's word. I'm just sharing with you the things that a pastor has to go through. I get in my car and I want to be a blessing to go visit with someone and yet I'm tired and I'm, Lord, this is a privilege for me. Lord, thank you for letting me represent you. Did you know everybody in this room that's a Christian is an ambassador of Jesus Christ? All of us are the same. So could I ask you, don't take the Ten Commandments as, okay, check number one, check number two, check number three. I got check number five, check number six. I'm doing a good job of it. No. Lord, could you help me do number one better? Lord, could you help me to do it with joy? Lord, help me to put you first in my life. Every morning when I get up, I ask the Lord to help me put him first and to love him most. My wife and I, when we get together and we're getting ready to go to sleep at night, we always take a few minutes and we pray for our missionaries and we pray for family members. And then we pause and say, Lord Jesus, help us to put you first above each other and everything else on earth. Because that is the greatest command of Scripture. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, body, mind, and soul. You can't please him without that. Tonight, look at these commands. Check your eyes. Check your thoughts. And say, Lord, I'll do anything for you. That is what he's trying to get us to do. They're not just 10 commandments. They're 10 things that he wants us to take to our heart and say, I'll do more than that, Lord. I think my thoughts right because I love you. Tonight, let's make an eternal difference in the way we live. And just use these as a guide, but do far better. Let's bow for a word of prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. And I'm going to read to you while heads are bowed the last phrase or the last sentence in the outline. God holds mankind, especially his children, to a higher standard of sight and thoughts than we realize. Let's honor our Savior with everything we see and think, because he is worthy. Lord Jesus, tonight, I'm sorry when I don't honor you with everything I think and see and everything that I do. But Lord Jesus, I want to, and I pray that you'd help the people in this room to want to. Help every husband to want to love his wife more than all the world. Help every wife in this room to want to love her husband more than all in this world. And Lord, help us to get your enlist your strength so we can do it because we love you most. Father, speak to hearts tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.